Amen. Well, we join with millions and millions of people worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, which is wonderful. And something else that's wonderful is do people know Steve and Rosie Frown have become grandparents again? So they have their daughter Elizabeth just had a baby. Now I can remember the middle name, which is Myrtle. Oh, I can't remember the first. Naomi, thanks very much, Fiona. So Steve and Rosie are up in Herefordshire with Elizabeth, so that's good news. He was a very excited boy on Wednesday. We have a lovely tea here on Wednesday as well. Thank you to Sandra and the team for that. It's a really good time. Well, I wonder, Kevin, if we could have that presentation, that would be lovely. And if we could have the first slide as well, that would be the second slide as well. That would be wonderful.
It's just playing with itself at the moment.
That's okay. What I'm going to do while it's doing that, I'm going to pray that God helps me. Jesus, I pray that you help me to speak. Lord, thank you we've been able to sing and enjoy you this morning. Thank you that it's been prayed this morning. Nothing is impossible for you. Faith is small as a mustard seed can release your power. And I pray that you encourage us all. Help us to fix our eyes upon you and what you can do. I pray I'll be sensitive to your spirit as well this morning, being able to say your very words. Amen. Amen. How are we doing, Kevin? No?
Not liking it.
No? Okay. All right. Fine. Well, in your mind, I want you to imagine, if you can, Manchester United football team. Now, some of us might think that's like a nightmare. I don't want to imagine Manchester United football team. But if you can, the reason being, they have great attitude. Manchester United football team in their prime, not so much now, in their prime, would often win the game in the last few minutes. In fact, Alex Ferguson used to come onto the side of the pitch and tap his watch like that to remind his team they could still win the game, but also to deliberately strike fear into the other team they were playing, because they knew Manchester United often won the game in the last few minutes. Manchester United's attitude enabled them to win against equal superior teams. The other team's poor attitude meant too often they lost. And I want to talk this morning about attitude and how your great attitude can give God great altitude in your life. So your attitude gives God great altitude in your life. And I want you to imagine as if it were an iceberg. Now you only see a little bit of the iceberg above the water, don't you? That's God's actions, mighty actions. But below the water is your attitude. Your attitude, amazingly, is what God responds to when he does his mighty deeds. Your attitude can give God great altitude in your life. Your attitude can give God altitude in your family, in your workplace, in your university, in your friendship circle, in your voluntary group, to an extent that will probably surprise you. Now, I think there's a lot of great attitude in this room. I think Shinfield, I'm allowed to do this as your pastor, I'm allowed to say what I think you're doing well. I think there's a lot of good attitude in the room. And I think that allows the church, you've allowed the church to do much. And I think God's said, okay, guys, you're up for a lot. I'm up for a lot. Let's go. And yet we also want to grow that even more as well, don't we? We want to grow even greater attitude. Now, attitude is sometimes called faith. But I want to use the word attitude because faith isn't a word we use very much every day. And kind of sometimes there's a little switch in our brain. Now, if I talk about faith, we kind of go, switch it off, because that's spiritual stuff. Whereas attitude's a bit more everyday. Attitude, expectation, faith. And we want to grow. Oh, there's Man United. Wayne Rooney in their pride. And then the next slide, look, if that's working, Kevin. That's God's action at the top, and that's your attitude below. And the church is an attitude. So if you want to be a disciple, this series is all about discipling. You want to have a great attitude that God gives God great altitude. But before we talk about good attitude, you and I need to talk about bad attitude. Now, have you ever been in a place where people have got bad attitude? Maybe a friendship group, family, what's the impact of bad, I can see lots of nods, what's the impact of bad attitude? It's not good, is it? Like, people get down, there's rows, productivity slows down. You know, bad attitude can even dampen the best spirits and stop people working well together. Did you know that even Jesus was limited in what he could do by people's bad attitude? Did you know that? Have a look on your sheet with all the Bible passages in. And we'll have a look at the impact of bad attitude. So reading number one, it says, coming to his hometown, Jesus began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his Mary's mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their bad attitude, their lack of faith. By the way, the Bible reference there is wrong. It should be Matthew 13 if you take them home to use the sheet. So the people, they were kind of basically saying, well, who's Jesus? He's just like one of us. We know his brother and his sisters and his family, so we're not going to expect anything of him. So they didn't expect anything of him. If you're like conceiving gloves there, so I'm just going to turn the heating on. Kind of freezing away a little bit. So hopefully you should warm up a bit now. Their bad attitude meant that they couldn't expect very much of Jesus. Now, before you go any further, on that sheet there's a little space just there, and it says, this is for you to do on your own, no one's going to read this apart from you, jot down the reasons why you think God would not want to help you. So there's, what would stop, what would your bad attitude be? Why wouldn't God help you? You might think, well, I've been bad, not read the Bible this week, done something that wasn't good, so God's not going to help me. I don't know, jot me down. Now, I encourage you this morning, but also I want to say, did you know that that bad attitude is likely to be cramping Jesus' style in your life? Here, though, is encouraging you. Bad attitude can prevent Jesus working in your life. If it can lower his altitude in your life, just think what Jesus can do with good attitude. And Jody was praying about faith as small as a mustard seed. You don't need much good attitude, and God can do an awful lot with it. Now, if you want to change, it's good to have a good model. Who's the best model? Jesus. And so we look to Jesus, and Jesus tells us to look to someone as a really good example of good attitude. Let's read the story, reading to. As Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a Roman captain came up in a panic and said, Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Oh, no, said the captain. I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order and my servant will be fine. I'm the one who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes to my slave, do this, and he does it. Taken aback, Jesus said, I've yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. The very people are supposed to know all about God and how he works. This man is the vanguard, the lead of many outsiders who soon be coming in from all directions, streaming in from the east and the west, pouring in, sitting down at God's kingdom banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Then those who grew up in the faith but have no faith will find themselves out in the cold, outsiders to grace and wondering what happened. Then Jesus turned to the captain and said, go. What you believe could happen has happened. At that moment, his servant became well. What a story. Now, wouldn't that Roman have had all sorts of reasons to have a bad attitude to Jesus? Wouldn't he have thought, Jesus is not going to help me. I've killed people. I'm part of the Roman Empire. They worship other gods. I'm not a Jew. Lots of reasons. But if you were scoring that Roman's attitude on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being rubbish, 10 being outstanding, what would you give him? You'd have to give him a 10, wouldn't you? It takes Jesus' breath away. Anyone whose attitude takes Jesus' breath away, you can't really get much better than that, I don't think. So all sorts of reasons that he had for having a poor attitude, but actually his attitude is great. Not only that, he's become a beacon for us 2,000 years later, and we're still inspired by him. That is incredible, isn't it? So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter what education you had. Doesn't matter if you left school at 14, 16. Doesn't matter if you know a lot of the Bible. The Roman probably didn't. Doesn't matter which part of the country you come from. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. Great attitude gives God great altitude. That Roman trusted in the goodness of God, that he would want to heal and do the good thing, and he trusted in the power of God. And so God's power was at work in his life and his servant's life. So you might be thinking, well, in that case, how do I get a great attitude like that? How can I develop a great attitude that goes beyond circumstances? Great attitude allows you to keep soaring even when the circumstances are bad. They will soar with wings like eagles, it says there. So great attitude, the sign of great attitude is when you're keeping your expectation of God when everything around you is rubbish. Attitude isn't feeling good when it's good. That isn't attitude, that's just feeling good. Attitude is keeping your faith in someone to do something, even when everything around seems to be indicating that won't be the case. Everything about that Roman said God shouldn't be helping him. Killed people, he was a soldier, he was part of the Roman Empire, he wasn't a Jew, but he knew that God was good and he knew that God was powerful. So the first thing to do if you want to develop a great attitude is to say, God, I want your help. I want my attitude to be better. Do you know you are in the strongest position possible? The moment you say to God, God, I need your help, you're being humble. And God says, he gives grace to the humble, he gives power to the humble, he lifts the humble up. The moment you say, God, I need your help, you are in the strongest position imaginable. So if you're saying this morning, God, I need your help to develop a better attitude, God is saying, great, I'm there for you. That's what he loves. Now, the first thing to do is to hang out with other people who've got a great attitude. There's a great verse in the Bible, number 4 on your sheet. Become wise by walking with the wise. I remember it's hang out with the wise and you will be wise. I find that really encouraging. So I don't think I'm wise, and I read the Bible, I think I'm nowhere like what I should be, and God just says, keep going. Just keep hanging out with the wise. Ultimately, that's Jesus. But hang out with your wise brothers and sisters. Hang out with people with a great attitude. Iris was telling us last week how she prayed for God's help in her family, and God has helped her family. Hang out with Iris. Dave has been inspiring us all at the Monday evening prayer meeting. It's got that whole meeting on fire. You should come. If you want to be encouraged, come on Monday. Great attitude, and it's spreading to the whole group. Malcolm said, I'm going to do open the book, and led the whole team of people to do open the book, performing Bible stories in the church. Hang out with Malcolm. Stephen Rosie Froud said, our DG group, we're going to lead an alpha. Never done one before, said Steve, but feel inspired to do one. And they've gone for it. God's helping them. Hang out with Steve. So hang out with people with great attitude. Read about people in the Bible with great attitude. Read about Jesus. Read about people like the Roman captain there. Read about Christians who, over a long period of time, have had the right attitude and integrity. And listen to people with great attitude as well. There's so many podcasts, tapes, TV programs from Christians who demonstrate integrity. Privately, that's what you're looking for. And publicly, you have great attitude. So hang out with the wise and you will be wise. That's why it's good coming together this morning. You'll be hanging out with some wise people this morning. You'll be encouraged. You'll be built up. And I think Shinfield is an encouraging place. There's not much, I don't feel there's much gossip here. I think people are very positive. People want to get on and do. And those are good things. We want to guard those in Christ Jesus and keep growing those. Okay, now so you want to hang out with the right people, the wise people, then what you do, you need to plan. If you want to grow, you need to plan, actually. Growth in any area of your life, and the Christian life's the same, it doesn't happen by accident. So I want to help you this morning, I want to help you, if you'd like to be helped, to put together a little plan to help you grow. And on the reverse of your sheet, there is the plan there. Now, first of all, if you want to develop a good attitude, you've got to get rid of the bad attitude. So, let me give you an example of the problem of bad attitude you can do. In the Second World War, there was a big battle towards the end of the war called the Battle of the Bulge, and the Germans were trying to drive the Allies back to the sea. And one of the things they did is Hitler got one of his top generals to get together a large number of German soldiers who could speak English, and dress them up in American and British uniforms, and use captured American and British vehicles and send them behind the Allied lines, and they were to spread confusion and chaos. They were to cut telegraph labels, cables, they were to turn signs around, they were to put signs on the road saying you can't use this road, it's got mines, bombs all along it. And they were quite effective. They even managed to send a whole American regiment that was going towards the battle the wrong way. And the Allies quickly realized, we've got to deal with these guys. They're in disguise. They're messing up with our mind, as it were. They're messing everything up. But they're quite hard to spot because they're in the same uniform as us. There's bad attitudes in your mind that are messing you up, and they can be quite hard to spot. But you can often spot them by their behaviours. So you might be hard, but if Chris was dressed up in an American uniform and Malcolm was dressed up in an American uniform and Malcolm was a German and Chris, I was going to say, was English, but he was not, thank you for saying that, he was British, you wouldn't know just from the uniform. But if Malcolm started cutting the telegraph cables and started switching signs around, you'd know, he's the German, he's the enemy. In the same way, your bad behaviour often will give away bad attitudes. So what I'd like you to do, if you want to begin to make a plan, don't have to, but I think it's a good thing to do, is number one, is identify one or more bad behaviours in your life. So it could be procrastination. And you might be saying, well, I'm not sure whether I procrastinate or not. Let me give you some time to think about that. Could be frustration. Could be fear. Could be anger. Could be lack of prayer. So if you'd like to just jot down one or two, you think, oh, I know I do this badly. Just jot them down. By the way, you don't have to share this, it's just a personal thing. Some of us will just come straight away, others of us take more time to think. And then when you've identified the bad behaviour, what's the bad impact of that behaviour? So if it's, if you procrastinate, for example, I've put down the example, when I procrastinate, I end up not doing anything, which doesn't help me or anyone else. You know, if I'm angry, it makes everybody fearful, they can't, they don't open up, it's a closed environment. Well, whatever it is, what's the, choose one of those bad behaviours, what's the impact? Behavior impact. Now, what's your attitude towards that behavior? So it may be, well, actually, I'm scared to stop procrastinating and start making choices because actually I'd have to risk doing something. It might not work out. Actually, with my anger, I just think that's part of who I am and people have just got to live with it. Actually, I'm a timid person, so I'm always going to be fearful and I can't change. What's the attitude you have towards that behaviour that is not good? There's a verse in the Bible, it's number 6 on the sheet on the reverse side. And it says, we take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. So now you've identified those enemies in you, the ones disguised that are messing you up. Now you've spotted them, you've worked out who they are, now you can take them captive. Now the next step is to make them obey Christ. Now you want to get Christ's obedience in your mind. So now we're going to go from looking at the bad things, how do we culture what's good? Because it's not enough. If you clear weeds from a patch of ground, if you don't plant anything back in that spot, what happens? Thanks, Iris. Just the weeds will come back, don't they? Who's done that? Cleared the ground, and you've not made any time to plant anything good. Back loads of weeds. So we need to plant something good. So you're clearing the ground, taking captive the bad thoughts, what are you going to put in place? So now you need to identify good behaviour you would like to develop. So I've given the example there of, well, if it's a procrastination, the good behaviour that's the opposite of that is to start making choices and take action. What's a good behaviour you're looking at? Is anger, the opposite might be to be gentle with people. And the next step's, I always think, quite an encouraging, positive one. If you develop that good behaviour, what would be the impact? So if, for example, you stopped procrastinating and started making choices and taking action, you could do things that would help yourself and help others. And if you started to be more gentle, you might see other people really flourish. They'd bring out the best, they might draw closer to you. If it was to be bolder, you might make more friends, or you see yourself projected into new areas. I would encourage us to think on what is good, what is pure. And it's good sometimes to think about, you know, if God's growing good things in you, what would be the impact? That's an encouraging thought. Then the next bit is, well, what's God's attitude? What is God's attitude? So, if you were trying to be more confident in making choices, what would God's attitude to that be? And I put the example there, well, he'd want me to be more confident about decisions and actions because he was a man of action who helped others. He wanted me to stop being angry and be gentle. Well, he was a man of gentleness and brought out the best in people. So of course he wants to help me. What's God's attitude to what you were trying to do that's good? You might know a verse or something you could jot down that would help you as well. And then the last bit is, what do you expect God to do? So you know he's got that attitude. What do you expect him to do? So if it's making decisions, I believe I will begin to have the confidence to make decisions. We'll start to do things that make a difference instead of just dreaming about them. Or if it's being gentle, God will help me to be gentle with people, bring them along. Be confident, he will help me to go for those things he's asking me to do, to make relationships, to try new things. We're going to be inspired by the Roman captain's attitude. He trusted that God was good, he trusted he had the power to change, he trusted he wanted to change. He wants to help you. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Few things to remember. God's ways are not your ways. So God will want to help you grow, but his plan for growth might not be your plan for growth. So for example, God's plan to save the world is not our plan to save the world. Our plan to save the world would be just to save the good people. But God decided he would save the supposedly good people and all the bad people as well who have faith in him. Our plan would be for God, say, to come as a king, a president, a ruler, and sort of turn the world around and make it good. God's plan was to be killed and then rise again. So God's plan for your life is the best. That's the best plan you could ever have. But it was a plan that none of us had thought of. God's plan for your life is for good things, but it might not be what you expect. The second thing is, God does things at the right time. You remember last week we said at the right time Christ died for us sinners. You might be thinking, right, God, the best time for you to put your plan in action would be this half term week. I've got a bit of time so you can work on me, or might be this Sunday afternoon, or leading up to Easter. Father, I'd like to turn that into action. But God has the best time. So, what you need to do is, God will be at work, but you need to keep now your ears open, your eyes open, and look for the fruit of what God's doing in his life. Look for cues. Someone was talking to me, as a person who prays and reads their Bible regularly, so they're listening to God through those things. They said that God was speaking to them through a TV program they were watching. And I know sometimes God speaks to me through music, through books, through conversations I have with people. Keep your eyes and ears open for what God's doing in your life. Often people say to me, God's not doing anything. I can see God is doing things, but what they mean is God's not doing it the way I wanted it to be done. And perhaps what God's trying to help you do is to see things in a new way, just as the cross helped us to see God in a new way. So God will be at work. Just keep your eyes and your ears open for what he's doing. Now you might also be saying, well, hang on a moment, Nathan, that's fine, but church is not just about me. That's a plan for me. You know, as a church, We should be interested in the world, I should be interested in my work, I should be interested in this village, I should be interested in my family. You're absolutely right. But you can't be asking God to do things for others that you're not prepared to do yourself. You cannot ask God to change your world, your family, your workplace, your university, if you're not working hard to change yourself. God's not going to do it. And it may be if you've been praying for God to change those things and you've not been open to God changing and you're not working at that and you're not giving God space and time because this is going to take effort. That might be why God's not moving. He's wanting you to, he's saying, listen, the reason I'm not doing anything is I want you to work on yourself first. You can never ask somebody to do anything that you've not prepared to do yourself. But many of you are doing things yourself, so then you start moving into a plan for others. So it might be you're saying, actually, I'm going to take the same plan and use it in my workplace. In my workplace, there's a lot, in my friendship group, there's a lot of gossip. I can see that bad behaviour, so I'm going to name that. And what does that do? What's the bad impact of that? Well, it destroys relationships. People in my office, people in my family, people in my friendship group, they're scared. They're not confident because they know that as soon as they leave the room, someone's going to talk about them. And what's the bad attitude behind that? Well, in my friendship group, that's just what we do. That's how it is. In my workplace, people just say that's what it's like around here. That's a bad attitude. We're going to take that captive in Jesus' name, and we're going to make it obedient to Christ. So I'm going to now pray in, or you're going to now pray in, so you identify that. Right, what's a good behaviour that you want to see God create in that friendship group, in that family, in that workplace? Well, I want to see people talking well of each other when they're not in the room. Okay, good. What would be the impact of that? Well, my workplace would transform. Relationships would just be so much better. People would relax, they'd feel safe. They'd suggest new ideas, they'd step out in friendship, that'd be wonderful. What's God's attitude? Well, he'll want that. He came to give us life in all his fullness. So what are you going to expect? Well, I'm going to expect, I'm working on my change myself, so now I can expect God to change my workplace, my family, my friendship group, my voluntary group. See how it works. It's exciting. And God will. I believe that God, one of the reasons we're not seeing God at work more in this country, because we don't expect God to do anything. We've expected the church to lose influence. We've expected society to get worse. Come on, guys, let's be those who have expectation. You are, actually. You have great attitude. But let's have even bigger attitude. Let's be that Roman captain. No one thought that Jesus would hold him up as an example. Now, we're a relatively small church. No one is thinking that Shinfield Baptist Church is going to be an example of attitude and expectation and faith, except for God. God says, you can be a light to me in this village. You can be a light for other churches. We're not going lording it around. I don't mean in that way. There's nothing that can stop you and me giving God altitude in this village, in your workplace, in this country, in your life, other than your attitude. Do you remember the iceberg? So we're wanting God to work on that. Do you want God to change your attitude? Do you want God to grow our attitude? Well, if you do, what I'm going to encourage you to do is seek God's power, because you won't be able to do it on your own. None of these things can do on your own. I believe God wants to grow what we've already got and done. I'm going to talk about that in a bit more. And let's pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help. We'll close our eyes, and if you want to, it's kind of a symbol of your expectation of God to give to you to help you. You can just put your hands out like that. And I'm going to pray that God's Holy Spirit comes upon us. And I always say, don't look for the experience with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will do amazing things, and buildings will shake, and you'll shake, and all sorts of things. That's wonderful when that happens. Look for the fruit. That's the most important thing. If you're praying for the Holy Spirit to change you, look for him changing your life. Now, I've been praying with you on these Sundays for the Holy Spirit to do certain things. So I'm looking to be gentle. I think sometimes I'm a bit too abrasive in my style. I believe God's already begun to change that. I believe that's the Holy Spirit. Now, you can give me your own feedback on that, whether you think I'm making progress or not. But what I'm trying to say is, don't worry about when you pray for the Holy Spirit, you don't sense anything. Look for what God does. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're going to help us. We have great attitude here. Lord, your church, Shinfield, has great attitude. You know that. And we want to grow that even more. So from that great attitude, Holy Spirit, come upon us, come among us this morning. Will you change? Will you transform? Will you help all those who need your help? You are going to do wonderful things. We are going to become more like you. We are going to see more of your power, more of your love. We are going to see our families changed, our workplaces changed, our universities changed, our friendship groups changed, our voluntary groups changed by you, because you're helping us. Our eyes are not on our size, our eyes are not on our experience, our eyes are not on our education, our eyes are not on our status, but they're on you. And you said that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. So Holy Spirit, come upon us this morning, I pray. Amen. This, I just wanted to write a reminder as we were talking about faith this morning. So this is a slogan we've had as a church for a while. We don't talk about it that much, but it's been there since about 2014. We want to be a church where Jesus grows greater, a community transformed by the kingdom of God. Not a village transformed by the kingdom of God. Now, I was at prayer meeting on Monday, and it just struck me that we are doing Open the Book in front of 400 children every fortnight. Rainbow Tots has just started. We've just started an Alpha. We've got people who are governing on the governing bodies of schools. And God said, can you see what I'm doing? You've asked me to be at work in this village. I'm doing those things. That's in response to your prayers. That's in response to your attitude. Those things, Rainbow Tots, are starting because you prayed for them. Open the Book's happening because you prayed for it. Alpha's happening because you prayed for it. And got behind it and supported it. Sally Ann was appointed because you prayed for that and appointed it. God is doing great things through you. Open your eyes. See God at work. Community transformed by the kingdom of God? Yes. Is it going to happen straight away? No. Did God build the world in one day? No. He took six. Stage by stage, God's doing things in response to your prayers. Hubert and Rita aren't here this morning, but we prayed over their house as it was being built. That's why they're here with us. What's happening, many of the people who moved, most of the houses built here, something like about 80 to 90% of the people are coming from Reading. So they generally are not tending to transfer. They're coming into those, they're staying in their Reading church. But what we have noticed is where people have come from further afield, that some of them have joined the churches. You better reach the one. So when we pray around the houses, let's expect to meet some of those people. Renato and Lydia and little Sam. We prayed over their house. It's no surprise they're here. Yeah. So great attitude, great altitude. So we could have the next slide, please, Kevin. And so this is what we set 4 years ago. We set this ourselves this. To grow to be a church of 80 to 100 people with many new people becoming Christians through the life of the church. Well, we're not 80 to 100, I have to say. That's God's. We've given that to God. But we do want people to come to Christ. We have seen people coming to Christ. Carl just turned up about this time last year. He was reminding me he was baptised in February the 25th last year. Do you remember that? We've seen people come through the Alpha group. We're not going to have many people transferring to the church from other churches because most people, as I said, are staying in Reading. So they're staying with their churches there. And we're not into trying to nick people from other churches. So that means our emphasis on helping people find Christ the first time now. And we'll need God's help to do that. But God says, I will help you. I will make you fishers of men. So one of the things I think we need to do as a church is be asking him for greater help. How do we help the people we know? How do we help them come to Christ? We know God can do it. We know God takes ordinary people like us and does that. So we've not quite got there, but we're pushing on. But the next one, if you could show the next slide, Kevin. To graft 2020, that was our target. To graft into one of the other local churches or start a new church elsewhere in the village. Sometimes God moves things back, sometimes he brings other things forward. So you know we're exploring it, Beech Hill. Can we help rejuvenate and renew the fellowship there in Beech Hill? I'm so happy to have Ivy from Beech Hill with us. Great to see you, Ivy. And we've been praying in that building. We've had a couple of meetings, our elders met in there. So that's an opportunity that God seems to have brought forward. Do you know why I think that is? Because you've got great attitude. God said, what you've been given, you've done really well with. When you're given the idea of welcoming people from Wycliffe, you welcome them. When people from Wycliffe are given the opportunity to come, you came and gave up everything. And others have joined since. So many might not know that the church is much, much smaller, probably a congregation of 12 on average in about 2013. 12, 14, Jackie, would that be? That'd be fair. And God's been at work. Why? I remember when I first came here, Jackie said, well, we're a church, we want to grow. And I thought, what a great attitude. And God's growing us. We're a little bit thin on the ground this morning because it's half term. So that might be something God's bringing forward. We don't know. We're really open. What's God calling us to do? We want to explore that with him. How could we do that? Well, maybe we could do a Sunday afternoon service once a month, just begin to get a feel for is there something going on? Maybe go for a walk around a nice countryside, have a cup of tea, and then have a service. We're just playing with ideas. If you've got any thoughts, not this Monday, but the Monday after, our prayer group, we're going to meet in Beech Hill. And we're going to have a pray there. So, those are the things that God sort of put on our heart, but we're trusting him in his timing, in his way. Just take a moment to be quiet and just go a little bit of time and just listen to God. It may be someone hears God say something and they want to share it, or it may be we just enjoy listening to God ourselves. So let's take a moment to be quiet and listen to him. Father, we want to listen to you. Your ways are not our ways. But we do know that you've done wonderful things here. And I do know that's because of the great attitude of people here. What is our next step, Father, we pray? Speak, show us.